You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. A good day to look forward to as well, with day one of the Hennessy meeting at Newbury. That card includes a Grade 2 Novices Chase and a Listed Limited Intermediate Handicap Hurdle, so plenty to look forward to there. We've also got Southwell and Taunton alongside that in the afternoon and Chelmsford City in the evening. Plenty on offer. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to that action is Mr. Ollie Pimlott. How are you, Ollie?
Very good form, Mark.
Good man, good man.
Poor old Kellner's in for it tomorrow, isn't he?
He is.
Poor lad.
What a team that is. Yeah, you got yourself, your father, DK, and then Ken will be on the line from Newbury as well.
You wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy, would you?
Oh, I can't wait to listen, to tune in for that. 12:05 the start time. Don't miss any of those fun and games. We'll also got some pretty good racing on.
Really good racing tomorrow at Newbury. Can't wait for that. And then we'll touch on that in the next minute or so, I presume.
Yeah, well, maybe a bit longer than that away, because we'll have a look at some of the anti-post markets, in fact, to start with, because a fantastic weekend of racing coming up. The Hennessy Gold Cup is the feature at Newbury. The withdrawal of Coney Gree has had a significant impact. Obviously, he was the anti-post market leader. Safir de Rur now 3-1 favourites, 11-2 for Bobsworth. Smad plays sixes, tens for If in Doubt, the Druid's Nephew and the Young Master. 12-1 for Hublon Desobo and Valsalido, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others.
Yeah, so Safir de Rur takes over at the top of the market and the top of the weights, of course, there. I think it's a big ask. He's only a six-year-old. Prior to his win at Aintree, he ran three times over fences last year, obviously. Got rid of Sam Twist and Davis twice. He's brushed up his jumping six since, obviously, at Aintree. Jumped really well at Carlisle. On his seasonal debut, so he's going to be spot on for this. This has always been the aim. And Paul Nichols has, you know, he's been pretty bullish in his comments. He says he's got the stamina of Denman and the speed of Corto Star, so
yeah.
No, he's been pretty bullish in his comments. I just worry. I think it's going to be a big slog in the mud. How good is he? I'm not quite sure yet if he's just quite right at the top.
Yeah, so do you take him on at 3-1?
I'm going to take him on. I think he's too short in the betting. I'm a big fan of Smad Place. Backed him
too.
At tens, anti-post. He was fifth in the race last year, but he finished legless, and I think Alan King has come out since and said he needed a prep.
Yeah.
He's had a prep since.
An impressive one.
Very impressive. Giving Fingal Bay weight, and I gave it a good old beating at Kempton last time. I thought that was a really smart performance over a trip of 2.5 miles, far too short for him. He's only been beaten five lengths by Big Bucks in a world hurdle, so he's got the class. And he wasn't quite at the top of his game last year. I backed him anti-post last year for the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
Obviously, he came up short in that. But since the Newbury Hennessy last year, Alan King said that took a hell of a lot out of him, and that really put paid to his season. Whereas this year, he's had a good prep at Kempton on good ground. He's put a good horse in Fingal Bay right in his place. Didn't get knocked about. Won on the bridle under Wayne Hutchinson. 6-1, I think he's definitely the value. Fifth in the race last year. He's bound to improve on that, given what the trainers come out and said since. And we'll be doing match bets on the day. I fully expect him to beat Bobsworth.
Right. Bobsworth
last time, he's not shown anything over fences since. Obviously, he's a previous winner, previous Gold Cup winner. I just think he's a shadow of himself. Beat Simon Sigg at Aintree, of course, on heavy ground, but we all know Simon Sigg badly needed the run that day. He wasn't knocked about. He's going to be spot on for his next reappearance. I don't think he could read too much into that, other than Bobsworth perhaps back to something like his best. He's never going to be as good as his.
If he's something like his best, though,
he is well handicapped. He is very well handicapped, yes. But I just think he's just the wrong side of the hill, especially in a race like this.
Fair enough.
You know, it's a big, you know, you're going to have 20-odd runners, a little bit different to 4 or 5 runners around Aintree, where he got his way out front.
Mm. Yeah, rightly so. So Smad Place, the selection for Ollie in the Hennessy then. Other good stuff at Hennessy on Saturday, at Newbury on Saturday as well, the long distance hurdle. Last year's world hurdle winner in that race, Cole Harden, 2-1 joint favourite with Whisper. Thistlecrack, 9-2, 8-1 for Menorah, and Wonderful Charm. Akalim is 10s and 25s or bigger for the others.
thoroughly in the whisper camp here.
Really?
Had another one with a really interrupted campaign last year. The Russian bat for the World Hurdle, yeah. Where, of course, he finished third behind Cole Hardin. Cole Hardin improved massively for that wind operation, but Whisper overturned the form dramatically at Aintree. Cole Hardin, we all know what he's going to do. He's going to jump out under Gavin Sheehan and try and make all, which is OK. We've seen Conigree do it in the Gold Cup. We've seen him do it in the World Hurdle. But that way of racing, it appeals to a lot of people. But as a punter, to me, it doesn't really appeal. I think Whisper's just got that little bit more class. As long as it doesn't turn up extremely soft, I think the entry form will be upheld here. Nicky Henderson's come out and said that Whisper's had an uninterrupted campaign, unlike last season. This has always been the plan. And so I'm fully behind Whisper in this race. 2-1, joint favourites. I would have had Whisper favourite.
Okay.
Probably a flat galloping track like Aintree would probably suit more than Cheltenham would in the World Hurdle, and probably Newbury would, but this is a little, obviously flatter than Cheltenham for Whisper. I think he's a class act in the race. Cole Hardin obviously benefited for that wind up, but he's going to take him along at a good pace, and I think Whisper might just sit in behind and pick him off.
All right, Whisper then in the long distance hurdle. We've also got good racing at Newcastle on Saturday as well. The Fighting Fifth Hurdle, Wicklow Brave heads the market there at 7-4. Irving is 11-4, 3-1 for Arctic Fire. Belter is sevens. Hargam another at 7-1 as well. 8-1 for Identity Thief, and tens and double figure prices for the others.
I think it's a hard race to assess. Wicklow Brave obviously bolted in the county hurdle. That was off a mark of 1-3-3. He was obviously in hindsight extremely well handicapped. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit flattered by his proximity to Nichols Canyon and Forheen in Ireland on his first start. He's been well supported all through the William Hill betting shops all week. Irving, he seems maybe a little bit of a different horse this season. The only one question mark is, can he back it up 3 weeks in a row? He's had two hard races on heavy ground. He wasn't quite at his best over the fixed brush hurdles at Haydock at the weekend. He won comfortably enough in the end, but he did have to be shaken along. Didn't get the easiest of trips either. So this might be one race too far for him. Obviously, he's another one who's benefited greatly from a wind operation. So I'm going to go for the other Mullins horse here, Arctic Fire. He is a proven horse, class act, always runs his races at the highest level. Whereas Wicklow Brave was a handicapper last season. He's gone up from a mark of a 1-3-3 to a mark in the 160s. So he's rightfully favourite. But I think Arctic Fire is a little bit underestimated in the market. You look at the rest, Hargam disappointed massively at Aintree. I think he pulls a little bit too hard, especially given what the ground's going to be like at Newcastle. And the same applies to Beltor. Pulls far too hard for me to be competitive at the highest level. I think it's between the front three and the betting. I'm going to go with the apparent Mullin second string, Arctic Fire.
Yeah, just keep an eye on whether he actually goes to Newcastle, because he's also in the declarations at the moment for the Hatton's Grace over in Ireland on Sunday. He's 4-7 favourite there, so possibly end up going or staying in Ireland. Do you have an opinion there quickly? Oh, I mean, if he turns up there, he'd probably win there.
Yeah, he'd win. Probably win. Certainly the betting would tell you so, but I think the prize money's far better for the Fighting Fifth, and he has been well supported for that all week. But it'd be interesting to see where he turns up.
Yeah.
Most interesting for me of the week, I've just seen this morning who's entered up, Alvisio Veal.
Yeah.
Entered over 2.5 miles novice chase at Fairy Heist. I think he is the most exciting horse to go novice chasing this year.
Yeah,
he's a huge horse. Speak to Ken about him. He absolutely fell in love with him when he went over to Ireland at Christmas time. The most exciting horse that I've been looking forward to all season.
Yeah.
For me, he'll probably go off favourite for the RSA Chase or the Arkle. I think the Arkle will be a little bit too short, but I think given the start of him over 2.5 miles, they'll go RSA bound. But I'm pretty sure he's in at Fairy House on Saturday. If he runs, he's a ready-made chaser and he'll take all the beating. I think he'll take top rank in the chasing divisions this year.
Yeah. I spoke to AP McCoy about, obviously, over a few weeks ago as well. When we were picking out his selections for the jumps, he was one of the first names he picked out.
Just a big baby last year. He's a huge, huge horse. He's, you know, the old cliche, he's a chaser in the making. That's what he is. He is of any horse. So I did the Cheltenham previews last year and I said, forget the horse for the Supreme Novices, it's going to be a little bit too sharp for him, but have him in every single notebook you have for going chasing. No doubt for me, he'll go off favourite for one of the novice chasers at the festival.
All right. Well, let's leave it there. Let's get stuck into Thursday's action then, because that's fast approaching. We'll get Ollie's thoughts in four races at Newbury on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, Ollie's going to look at four races for us. We start in the 1 o'clock at Newbury, which is an amateur riders handicap chase, a class three event over 3.25 miles, a field of 9 here. Ollie, who'd you like in there?
Yeah, well, this is a devilishly difficult handicap to get us started at Newbury. $6,000 to the winner, 3-mile 1, so it's going to be a slog in the soft, heavy in places ground. The most interesting horse obviously has to be Woof here, making his debut for Paul Nicholls, previously with the Tom George Yard. 7 runs for him, 2 wins. And he was fairly tidily tried. They tried him in the novice handicap chase at Punchestown in his last start. That was won by Blood Cottail, a really good horse of William Mullins's. He was second off a mark of 129 behind the Sky Farmer, who franked the form since at Newbury. So he brings a mark of 130 to the table, the same mark which he ran under for Tom George. And given the change of stable, you'd have to think he's had a wind operation. The tongue tie remains on. It was on his last 4 starts for Tom George last year. In the pretty famous Brookhouse colours. You'd have to think, given the change of stable, he's going to have a little bit more up his sleeve than the mark of 130 would suggest. So he's got to be certainly the starting point. If I'm looking at one at a bigger price, you can rule out that run by Roosh Blanc 23 days ago. Kerry Lee's got a team in absolutely fantastic form since she took over the licence. He was an impressive winner at Carlisle of the St Patrick's Day Handicap Chase. He beat Phil LaPower there, who's a horse of Sue Smith's, who I really like. He's since franked that form. So, yeah, Roosh Blanc, if you can forgive that that first outing of the season 23 days ago, that might well have been a pipe opener. I think he's pretty well handicapped off a mark of 123. So Woof would be the selection. If you're looking for one at a bigger price, then Roosh Blanc would represent a little bit of value.
Yeah, one of the only horses in training that's officially white as well, Roosh Blanc. Not many of them. On to the 210 at Newbury next. This one is a Grade 2 Novices Chase over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. It was registered as the Worcester Novices Chase. A field of 7 here, and it looks quite a good renewal as well.
Yeah, an absolutely cracking race here. Firstly, we've got to start with the French champion hurdle winner, Untempspor 2. He, of course, beat Zarkander and Thousand Stars in the summer at Auteuil to win the French champion hurdle. However, he was a little bit disappointing on his chase debut, being put in his place pretty convincingly by 16-1 shot Vicente. That was at Cheltenham at the open meeting. So that would be a slight worry, the fact he's had one go already. But he was a formerly very high-class staying hurdler, of course. We've talked about that Whispering Coalharden form earlier from Aintree. He finished third, admittedly beaten 10 lengths by Whisper in the Silver Cross Stayers hurdle. That is obviously a grade one at Aintree. He was sixth in the world hurdle at Cheltenham as well. So he brings probably the best hurdles form to the table. But another horse who I absolutely love runs here in the form of Beast of Burden. Very, very unfortunate unseat on his chase debut at Chepstow. Of course, won by It's a Close Call. But he had the race wrapped up there when he unseated Paul Townend 2 out. This is another horse very much in the Alvisio Veal mould, who is very big. I think he's going to be a far better chaser than hurdler. A strong selection for me, Beast of Burden in the 210 at Newbury.
Strong selection for Ollie there then. Moving on to the 245 at Newbury. This one is a novices limited handicap chase, a class 3 event over 2.75 miles. 15 of them in the lineup here, Ollie. Who'd you like in there?
Yeah, very, very difficult handicap this. The one I'm going to take a chance on is the very lightly raced Nitrogen. Only had the 2 starts for Harry Fry. Harry Fry, of course, had a fantastic weekend with a treble at Ascot. He has been beaten in maidenhead hurdles behind Blackthorn Timothy and on his debut at Exeter. That was in another maiden hurdle behind Brandon Hill. But very lightly raced, only had the 2 starts for an 8-year-old. So clearly been difficult to train. But off a mark of 1-2-1, given the Harry Fry, the form of the Harry Fry stable, he could well be extremely well handicapped off a mark of 121. So tentative selection in the 245 at Newbury would be the lightly raced Nitrogen.
Nitrogen for Ollie there then. And the final race we'll look at is the 315 at Newbury. This one is an intermediate hurdle, a listed limited handicap. It was the Jerry Fielden. It's over 2 miles, field of 7 here, and some potentially nice runners in there.
Yeah, potentially nice runners in here. The one who I like most is John Constable, formerly trained by Aidan O'Brien in Ireland. He brought a mark of 94 to the table as a flat horse, who is very, very smart indeed. And he was a convincing winner of a juvenile hurdle at Ludlow, beating Mighty Missile and Golden Spear, who have since franked the form. He then absolutely bolted up at Huntingdon at odds on, beating Nicholas Chauvin, who again is a pretty decent horse of Nicky Henderson. He's got a mark in the mid-130s. John Constable got a mark here of 147. He was well touted for the Chester Cup this year, John Constable. Didn't make it. He's obviously had a setback since, but 234 days off the track. The fact they're coming for the Jerry Finald in a listed event, he's bound to be well-schooled and race fit for his comeback run here. And I think he's very potentially well-handicapped off a mark of 147. He was up there in the betting for the Triumph Hurdle and for the Chester Cup. Met a setback, but clearly he's going to come back here fit. And John Constable will be the selection in the 3:15.
Superb. Good work, Ollie. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Will do.
There you go, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott. On Thursday's racing, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 PM. Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott will be in the studio. It's day one of the Hennessy meeting at Newbury. We've also got jumping from Taunton, all-weather action at Southwell and evening action from Chelmsford City. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.